This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard. Well, hello, and welcome to this episode of the Astrology University podcast. And I have astrologer Lily Falconer here with me today. Thanks for joining me, Lily.
Thanks so much for inviting me on, Tony. I'm so excited to be here.
It's great to have you. And we're going to be talking about transits, and we have a kind of an interesting leading title for this episode. When will this transit be over? So that's going to be our lead into a conversation. But before we get started, can you tell folks a little bit about your background in astrology and what you like to focus on?
Yeah. So I am an astrologer coming from a modern psychological perspective. I came to astrology through my graduate program at the California Institute of Integral Studies, and I've studied with Richard Tarnas for the last 6 years, super deep dive during my grad school time. I'm working on a PhD currently. So my astrology is really focused on, within that lineage particularly, focused on transits and studying transit astrology, working mainly with the planets and the angular relationships between the planets. What we kind of say is that there's just plenty there, so why not work with it? So that's the lineage that I'm coming from, and what we're probably going to be focusing on today. That's where I'm coming from.
Beautiful. Awesome. I love we teach Cosmos and Psyche at Astrology University. We have a whole course on it, and we'll have more courses on it as well, but co-teach that class with Saffron Rossi. And so you're in good company, and absolutely love that work. And what a blessing to get to study at CIIS. And so really, really amazing. Well, a lot of times when we do readings, we hear this as astrologers, this line, when will this transit be over? Especially when it's a hard one. Difficult transits will find people seeking out readings. And then once we kind of explain to them that they're in the midst of a cycle, if it is challenging, it's normal to want to know, well, if it's a cycle, when does it end? But the answer, as you know, and as we're about to discuss, isn't as simple as they would like, right? So in fact, you might, if based on the conversation we had before we started recording, you might even have some bad news in store for them. So I thought we could maybe start there and talk about how you think of time and as you put it, nonlinear and non-ordinary experience of time with transit astrology.
Yeah. So this is one of the my favorite things about this particular lineage that I'm in with astrology, is focusing on transits and focusing on the practice of studying transits throughout one's lifetime. And that really includes at the student level, like as a student with Rick, diving back into the biography and tracking transits that were going on before you were studying astrology. And then also tracking your experience of transits while they're happening. And something that I've noticed in myself is being past Saturn return, having started studying astrology as my Saturn return was really kicking off, and being one of those people saying, when will this be over? This is a custom made hell. Like, how does Saturn know my exact nightmare scenarios and keep digging these things up out of the rug? Or up from under the rug. And a very surprising thing started happening when I started tracking, in that instance, my Saturn transits at the quadrature angles to my natal Saturn. So when I went back in 7-year increments from my Saturn return time, I was able to really kind of get a sense of how these cycles and how these transits move through time and through us in a really remarkable way, like an unbroken thread. Or I've recently started thinking about it as a type of mystical fascia, like a connective tissue through time and through our biographical experiences, that we can connect to in cathartic ways, potentially healing ways, by looking backwards, by looking back in our biography. So my Saturn transits when I was 14, 15, you know, I was still sort of picking up the pieces when I was 21, when I was, you know, and then when I was 28, 29. And I'm continuing looking forward at my Saturn square, which I'm entering into right now, and knowing now that I have certain things that tend to come up. I have certain threads that I need to tend to, and I have certain ways of connecting with the past, with those Saturn themes that can be constructive and can bring me a lot of self-knowledge. It's really useful. And we were talking a little bit about nostalgia and how I've had a lot of really nostalgic experiences just in the couple of days leading up to this conversation, and that can play a role. Anyway, so the basic idea being that through transit astrology, through tracking our transits, through looking at into past transits, we can experience time and even past traumas sometimes, or look back on past traumas or past events or whatever, difficult times, with a different perspective if we're taking it with that sort of that longer lens, that farther away kind of look when we're getting the whole cycle in our perspective. And that can be really cathartic and really healing. And I think it's a non-ordinary experience of time. I think we're tapping into temporal experience that's available to us through astrology that is pretty unique.
Beautiful. Yeah, I love that. So much to unpack there. It just starting with that and that temporal experience of time. And you use this phrase mystical fascia. And I used to do body work, and I used to do fascial work as part of that. It was, you know, myofascial work as part of that in my toolkit. And I love that because it's this connective web that runs through the entire body, and you can really impact the whole system through the fascia. And so thinking about that and its applications to astrology, and as you look back, like you said, on these moments, there are ways in which you can engage with the past in the present from a present healing context where I personally believe you can impact that history. I mean, there are many healing techniques, body mind techniques that I've learned that are about, you know, anything from reframing the past to really re-engaging and healing the past in a way that you can reflect on it now and you don't have the same reaction to it today, just really simply. And I love that Tarnas takes us into this by often talking about outer planet transits and how, you know, when the transit is quote unquote done, that's almost when the real work begins. Because that's when we get to start processing what just happened.
Yeah, integrating it. Yeah.
Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah. And I think that this also coincides with, for Tarnas, for Rick, with his study of some of the psychedelic work that Stanislav Grof did and the similarities and cathartic experience that they were noticing across these two disciplines, and the importance of integration after any kind of event, be it, you know, falling down and you know, hitting your elbow and needing to kind of let your body integrate that trauma and deal with it, whatever needs to happen, or going through a Saturn return or Pluto on your moon, or, you know, some kind of like big, like maybe a 5 or 6 year, like long grueling transit. The integration is how we move forward and how we not only heal from that event that was, you know, tough, but that we can actually digest whatever lessons were encoded in the difficulty in what we were being asked to go through, whatever trials or challenges were in there. Yeah, I have a background in body work and grew up with a body worker parent.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, fascia and I think it's a great kind of metaphor, but also an important integration for anyone on a healing path.
to include the body.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this takes me to another point that I like talking about, especially when teaching students and even when talking with clients. If they're in the midst of a longer transit, like some of the ones you're referring to, like let's just say a Pluto transit, for example, that, you know, depending on what orbs you use or how you think about them, anywhere from, you know, 2.5 to 3 years in terms of a time period, bookends that aren't really bookends. They're more like, you know, I don't know what foggy bookends.
Yeah.
I don't know what to call them. There's like a blur in and a blur out, but there is a concentrated period of time that we can really sense and feel. And that concentration of energy dissipates over time. When you're in the midst of it, if you're telling somebody that, oh, you're gonna go through so much transformation and have so many great insights from your Pluto transit, if they're in the middle of it, it's not super helpful to hear that. And in fact, it's, in my experience, virtually impossible to actually get to the point where you could understand what happens or put it into a context or even benefit from some healing around it in the moment. I mean, you are benefiting from healing in the moment, maybe without knowing it, just by participating in it. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that the real insight or awareness doesn't come until much later. And that you actually need the space to reflect on it, to integrate that those types of lessons, which are, you know, with the outer planets, they're much more challenging to integrate famously or understand.
Yeah, I mean, challenging to integrate, challenging to understand, just challenging to be steeped in that magnitude of energy, right? And I think that the different outer planets have sort of different signatures, and I bring sort of different approaches when I'm working with clients. Like if a client is having a tight Uranus transit to a personal planet, like the sun or the moon or the ascendant or something like that, I'll say, you know, there might be some unexpected changes that might really surprise the people around you, you know, or, you know, just kind of like be ready for that. And just, or just like, don't be too surprised when, you know, you suddenly are changing everything about your life. Right. you know, and then for Neptune transit, it's a lot more murky when it's happening. I often say that Neptune transits are hard to feel when they're happening. And after they're done, you'll look back and say, oh, like that was, there was a lot of, you know, spiritual growth, or that was a very disorienting time, or, you know, but you don't really realize it's so disorienting while it's happening that you're sort of disoriented from the experience. A lot of times it can take a lot of work to become lucid within that Neptune zone. And then for Pluto, I would never really, I tend to just tell people like, you're doing great. Keep going. You're really in it right now. I just like affirm, like, right, you are in the pit of the mine, and it would be accurate to feel, you know, there's nothing wrong with feeling like you're being annihilated right now. Like that's you're doing great and you're right where you should be. And because if they are feeling that, it's like they are, and it doesn't have to always feel like that. We always need to make room for such a diversity of experiences and narratives and different things that people want to do or say or feel about their experiences. But yeah, they all have these sort of different sort of keys or octaves that they work within. But I'm right there with you on the importance of integrating after the fact. And so that's really why looking at past transits, many years past them, can be so helpful for gearing up for another transit, or so helpful for gaining that precious lucidity when you're in the middle of another one, right? Mm-hmm. It's and any kind of lucidity that we can try to manage in the middle of a big outer planet transit to one of our, you know, core natal placements is so precious. It's like gold for the transformation that's coming.
Definitely. I mean, returning to our question, when will this transit end? It's what I'm hearing is that there's a message here that it's important to be present with what is happening. And if you're asking that question, you're already trying not to be, right? Yeah. And so kind of steering the person back, as you were saying, like nudging them gently and gently affirming, you know, that the experience they're in with the Pluto transit is that's the process that they're in, and to be as open and present with it as you're able to. Certain transits, it's more challenging to stay open to that energy. And of course, on a day-to-day basis, you might need to close up shop for a little bit. For sure. Yeah. And then when you're ready to jump back in, but you know, during a Pluto transit, you have plenty of time to open shop back up again. So, but being present with the process is important, and then to not try to rush the understanding or integration, and to let that come naturally, to save it for later. And then I like how you started this conversation too, by even suggesting that we could, in those moments, I'm just thinking off the cuff here with a client who's really immersed in that experience, and we're having this kind of conversation, that you could say, you know, if you're looking for understanding and insight and integration, rather than looking at this transit that you're in right now, let's look back at some previous ones. And then, you know, maybe we can put this one in the context of previous cycles related to the same planet as well, or maybe we go for a different planet. But, you know, it seems like that could be a good advice as well.
Yeah, it's a great, it's sort of an assignment that I'll offer as an option to clients who come. We get people who come in for a reading and say, well, I know my Saturn return's about to start and I want to, you know, get a jump on it. Okay. Right. Saturn, yes, loves your ability to show up, but it is going to give you its custom made, you know, job, right, for the next 3 to 4 years, right? Or however long it lasts.
Yeah. For that person. Yep.
And yeah, so I'll often sort of just remind people that it can be really helpful to look back in their autobiography in those sort of 7-ish year increments. With Saturn, Saturn is the easiest one for non-astrologers or people who like don't have their own astrology program or something, or aren't fluent in ephemeris language. Saturn is kind of the easiest, most accessible one to do. But for the other outer planets, it can be really helpful to then look at other patterns that have been made by those planets to parts of your chart over your lifetime, or to read things like Cosmos and Psyche, where large chapters have been dedicated to analyzing sort of world events and different biographies of people who've gone through those transits or lived with that aspect, that planetary pair in their life, and how they expressed it in their art, or in, you know, I really connect with it artistically, like through music or visual arts. That's my most common way of I'll find myself listening to or just being drawn to things that are being created by people who have the transit that I'm experiencing as a natal placement.
For our listeners who don't know as much about astrology, can you just break that down for them, what you just said?
Yeah. So I'm a big Joni Mitchell fan. I have been since I was a teenager, and I went through I had a big, what was it? It was a big Saturn Neptune transit. So
I thought maybe that's what you were going to say.
Yeah. She's one of Rick's Saturn Neptune poster children.
Yeah.
She's also got a lot of Scorpio going on and a Mercury. Yeah. She's got a lot going on in her chart. But, and because she's one of my favorites, I've done a lot of research on her.
Nice. But,
I had Saturn and Venus conjunct in a transit. And of course, Venus moves very fast. So this was just like a very potent kind of couple of weeks out of a longer Saturn transit on my natal Neptune. And those can be pretty tough transits. Saturn transiting on a natal Neptune can correlate with the depression or a loss of like a kind of despair. It can be a lot of different things, but that's how I was sort of experiencing it. And with Venus there, Joni Mitchell is a Venus Saturn Neptune person. So she has Venus Saturn and Neptune in a tight angular relationship in her natal chart. And it shows up in her music and her entire catalog. But I only wanted to listen to Joni Mitchell for like 2 or 3 weeks, like only. And I love Joni, but that's weird. Like to just be sort of like compulsively putting on one album, like Hijira was just like on in my car all the time. And that's a total Venus Saturn Neptune album. The cover is in black and white, which is like very Venus Saturn. The whole song is sort of a breakup road album about love. And it's a fantastic album.
But
that's an example of connecting with an artist who's carrying the transit that you're going through. And it really helped me to integrate what was coming through from my own biography, from my own path, which I don't have a Venus Neptune aspect in my chart, but I have a Venus Saturn aspect in my chart. So this helped me to integrate some of what this transit was trying to bring in for me, and just noticing it while it was happening, looking up her chart and saying, oh, this is why I just want to like inject this music into my soul right now. This is like salve. I was able to gain that lucidity and be present with it while it was happening and take that lucidity into the integration process that happened after the transit was over.
Nice. I mean, that's such a great example too, of how if you're really kind of dialed in and in tune and following your own intuition and guidance, you were naturally led to Joni, and then you looked at her chart. It's not like you did a search through a database of who are the musicians with Venus Saturn Neptune, and then you picked one of them. Although you could do that, but really, really beautiful example of how if you're just tuned in and then you do look up the person's chart, and it could work like this, like you said, with any kind of art that you're drawn to, it could work with visual art, it could work with film, obviously. Whether it's actors' charts or directors' charts or cinematographers' charts, even.
Yeah, I have another funny example, actually, of the experience of a world transit. So not transiting my chart in any particularly strong or difficult way, but the Saturn-Pluto conjunction. A couple of months ago, we've been in lockdown here for very long time, and I live alone, and I was kind of watching a lot of movies and trying to sort of diversify my movie, catch up on movies I'd never seen.
Right.
And I thought, you know, I really want to watch something beautiful, kind of scenic. Why don't I watch The Piano? That's in New Zealand. It's so beautiful. Like, it's so beautiful there. I've been really into I've been like lonely, single in the pandemic watching, you know, romance.
Right, right.
Watch The Piano.
Oh, and my. It is.
So beautiful.
Yeah, but it's also got the darkness.
And we get to a certain part in the movie that I'm not going to spoil for anybody. But I had to pause the movie and look up everybody's charts. So almost everybody who stars in that movie has Venus Saturn, I think, in their chart in Italy. And I can't remember off the top of my head, but I was like blown away. It was also made during a Saturn-Pluto alignment.
No doubt. Absolutely no doubt. Yeah.
So much Saturn Pluto. So that's the thing, is like following that mystical fascia, following that thread, those unbroken threads that we connect to totally naturally through what we're drawn to, through what we're attracted to. And I finished watching the movie and it was amazing and so cathartic for the present, the Saturn Pluto moment and the themes around rebirth, the themes around just like hitting rock bottom and coming back up, and all these different themes around like love and commitment and art and all, you know, it was so rich and so Saturn Pluto. And I felt really met by that movie, but I was just cracking up, not, you know, about how Saturn Pluto it was and how that was exactly what I needed in order to help me to integrate what's been happening around me politically, what's been happening with the Saturn Pluto conjunction. And, you know, I needed to be met in that way artistically, and it just happens naturally. And so I would really encourage anybody who's tracking their transits and who's wanting to get into this to just start looking up things. Like when you're watching a movie or listening to a piece of music or something like, or really drawn to a piece of art, if you can, you know, look up the release date of that movie and like when it was being made, and look up the director's chart, or look up, you know, the main actor, their chart, and just see how these archetypes, they move through like a mystical fascia, through time, through art, through our lives, through our biographies. And it's just amazing. It brings me out of the state of like feeling really bogged down. It brings a sense of magic to me when I'm in a difficult place. And that really helps me personally.
Yeah, definitely. And it also helps you participate in what we've been talking about, which is being in the process and knowing that this was a process for that person who created that art, and that mm-hmm. the art can kind of, I mean, going back to our, when we started talking about nonlinear time, it's almost as if that piece of art is a time capsule that you can open up and step into, and it just speaks again, and it's just alive and fresh again right now.
Totally. Yeah. And we're always kind of trying to, I think, work out different complexes and patterns. And you mentioned something when we started also about these sort of unconscious patterns. And this is something that transit astrology and that this sort of archetypal lineage is really concerned with is identifying unconscious patterns or complexes, like relational complexes, different things that sort of come up and take over. I mean, like when I get triggered about something, or we call it a complex, something that just sort of takes over, and it takes a lot of work and a lot of patience and often a lot of time and help through therapy or, you know, whatever, to try to identify when a complex is taking over and gain some sort of footing with it and think like, okay, I'm not going to react the way that I always react with this time, you know, I'm going to change that pattern a little bit. My Venus Saturn complex, I'm going to infuse a little bit of Neptune into my Venus Saturn complex, because I actually think that could help me in my other patterns, you know, and I'm going to gain some lucidity, be awake inside of this experience. And so tracking these timelines, these cycles can really help us to do that, to engage in that practice with our complexes.
Beautiful. Well, thanks for sharing that, Lily. And thanks for taking some time to chat with me today. I hope some of you listeners have taken away some great insights. I guess we could kind of bullet point some for you. And when will this transit end? Well, it doesn't exactly end. Although the real participatory process that we've been talking about has a concentrated point of time, there are additional ways to participate with the transit over time. And each of those is interesting to explore. And Lily's given you some great tips for how to step into that. Lily, do you want to share with folks how to contact you if they would like to learn more about you or speak with you? Or I know you're open for consults, aren't you?
Yeah, I do. I do consults. And if anybody, I love talking about astrology. So if anybody has any questions, or, you know, just drop me an email. I'm so happy to nerd out about astrology at all times.
Beautiful.
So my website is lilyfalconerastrologer.com, and that's Lily with two L's, three L's total, L-I-L-L-Y, Falconer, like the bird. And there's a contact page on my website. And if anybody wants to come for a reading, you can find info there and book through there. And I'm on the Astrology University Facebook page sometimes. I love that page. There's so many cool questions that circulate and cool topics.
Oh, you mean in the group on Facebook?
Yeah,
in
the group, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a, for those of you who don't know, we have a private Facebook group for Astrology University. So you can find it pretty easily just by typing in Astrology University group. And we have some really great monitors, Drew Ish and Amy Jones moderate, and they're wonderful, wonderful folks. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of interesting conversations that unfold in there.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, great. Well, thanks, Lily. Thanks for taking time out to talk with me, and I hope to talk with you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Before you go today, I'd like to tell you about our featured nonprofit this month, which is the San Francisco chapter of an organization called Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly. This is a nonprofit organization that works to relieve isolation and loneliness among seniors by pairing them with volunteers. Today, over 25,000 seniors live alone in the city of San Francisco, where this organization does their work. By 2025, one in every five people in the United States will be over 65, while the number of individuals over 85 will have doubled. Recent studies have stated isolation and loneliness can be as harmful as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It can lead to heart disease, stroke, cognitive decline, and premature death. 8% of the U.S. population lives alone, with little to no family or friends to offer support, the effects of which can be detrimental to mental and physical well-being. So Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly serves these folks through outreach, advocacy, and companionship. They respond to the unmet needs of elders in their community by offering services that are currently unavailable through public or government agencies, such as consistent home social interaction and increased connectivity to the outside world. This inspiring organization brings people together, offering a life-enriching experience to everyone who participates, from the volunteers to those who receive their services. So I hope you'll take a moment to visit their website today and consider making a contribution to support their work. And their website address is littlebrotherssf.org. And I'll just spell that out for you. It's little, littlebrotherssf, as in Frank, .org. So littlebrotherssf.org. I hope you'll stop by today and consider making a contribution. And before I go, I'd like to tell you about some of our upcoming events at Astrology University. As we're posting this podcast, we're about to have Melanie Reinhart's ritual, The 12 Holy Nights. This is a special presentation, as Melanie's going to present a ritual that she loves to practice each year. And the 12 Holy Nights that she's referring to last from December 24th until January 6th, as the Earth reaches its perihelion, which is its closest approach to the Sun. This time can be experienced as a beautiful astrological retreat, and during her presentation, Melanie will outline the retreat process itself and also offer some guided imagery to help supplement the process. So I hope you can tune in for this special experiential process with Melanie on December 19th. Head over to our events calendar to learn more or to sign up. Then on January 2nd, Kelly Surtees will be offering her annual 2021 year ahead forecast. Kelly shares in her description that the winds of change blow through the skies in 2021 as Saturn in Aquarius squares off with Uranus in Taurus. During this webinar, Kelly will ask us, what kind of revolution are you ready for? And how can you more honestly express your identity in the world? She'll then review the major transits for 2021 and also look at the eclipses to come. She'll spend some time looking at Jupiter's time in Capricorn and then its shift into Pisces, and also spend some time looking at Saturn's transit through the sign of Aquarius and what that might mean. So Kelly's webinar will be presented January 2nd, 2021 at 9 a.m. Pacific time. I hope you can stop by and sign up. And then finally, we have a new online course coming with Brian Clark, who's teaching the archaeology of the astrological houses from January 4th to February 1st, 2021. And Brian will be sharing a psychological approach to working with the houses. So I hope you can tune in for that engaging course as well. Again, stop by our calendar at astrologyuniversity.com/events. And we hope to see some of you in one of our webinars or courses coming up soon. And until then, take good care. Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.